This is Eagle 1490 AM WLCX La Crosse and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. British Prime Minister Keir Starmer standing solidly behind Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky.
This government, this house, and this nation stand in unwavering support behind him and the people of Ukraine.
Yeah. Starmer addressing Parliament following the weekend's defense summit in London. In Western Germany, officials now say two people were killed and several others hurt when a driver plowed his car into a crowd of people. The driver's been arrested. The alleged gunman in the Highland Park, Illinois, 4th of July shooting in 2022 has pleaded guilty, avoiding a trial that was to have begun today. Pope Francis spending another day in the hospital. The Vatican says he had a peaceful night and experienced no respiratory distress as he did last Friday. Firefighters in the Carolinas battling at least 175 fires stoked by strong winds and dry conditions. South Carolina's fire marshal says 4,200 acres have burned. This is ABC News.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
Hi, I'm Jimmy Kuska for 1490 WLCX. U.S. Senator Bernie Sanders is heading to western Wisconsin later this week to visit Republican districts in support of Democratic politicians and liberal candidates on the spring nonpartisan ballot. Sanders will appear at Altoona High School on Saturday. According to a statement, Sanders' office said that he's holding the events to push back against the current presidential administration and to put pressure on congressmen like Derek Van Orden to vote against cuts to public services such as Social Security. Van Orden criticized the planned appearance. The School District of Onalaska announced its three finalists for superintendent. Ben Barton, the superintendent for Princeton in Minnesota since 2018 and a former administrator at La Crescent and Caledonia. Dr. Rainey Briggs, the superintendent at Baraboo and Viterbo graduate who previously worked at multiple schools in Dane County. And Lalisha Olson, principal at Northern Hills Elementary in Onalaska, who is a UW La Crosse and Winona State graduate who also worked in the Holman School District. Interviews and a public forum are set for Thursday. New Trump administration tariffs are going into effect. Taxes will increase on goods from three of the United States' largest trade partners. With more, here's Savannah Tomei Olson.
Wisconsin farmers are bracing for impact. Farmers would be affected twofold on exporting their products, and tariffs would raise prices on things like fertilizer and equipment parts necessary to their operations. In 2023, Wisconsin exported almost $4 billion worth of agricultural products. China, Canada, and Mexico are some of the state's largest trade partners. For Civic Media News, I'm Savannah Tomei Olson.
Consumers, especially farmers, are expected to take on the brunt of the cost increases due to the tariffs. One eastern Wisconsin farmer said that they lost 60% of the revenue due to tariffs during Trump's first term. The state individual wrestling championship wrapped up last week in Madison, and attention now turns to the team wrestling meet this Friday and Saturday, where Holman will compete in Division I. Tomorrow is the start of the boys' basketball tournament. Later this week is the state hockey tournament in Madison, as well as state gymnastics in Wisconsin Rapids. Also later this week are girls' basketball sectionals. Regional champions from last week in our area include West Salem, Aquinas, Blair Taylor, and Oliva Strom. For 1490 WLCX, I'm Jimmy Kuska.
The Bucks head to Atlanta. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Bucks play the Atlanta Hawks at State Farm Arena tomorrow night at 6:30. They beat the Mavericks in Dallas 132-117, but guard Kyle Kuzma limped off the court in the first period. Doc Rivers.
Yeah, he twisted his ankle. Kept going. We were happy we didn't have to bring him back in, though.
Is that something you just got to evaluate?
Yeah, I have no idea. They don't think it's a bad one, but you don't really know until the next day.
College hoops. UW-Milwaukee with an 89-67 win over Detroit Mercy to lock up the number 3 seed in the upcoming Horizon League tournament. 11th-ranked Wisconsin losing to number 8th-ranked Michigan State 71-62. Badgers head coach Greg Gard on losing to the Spartans.
And yeah, we got a lot to play for in terms of seeding and Big Ten play, NCAA tournament and beyond, but you know, this, we'll learn from this. Maybe we'll see him down the road in Indianapolis or later in March.
That's Wisconsin's Greg Gard. With sports, I'm Mike Clements.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
It's the calm before the storm. With mostly cloudy skies and a few spotty sprinkles this afternoon, high temperatures still smack the mid-50s. We stay above freezing overnight with scattered showers tomorrow morning. Rain really ramps up tomorrow evening. It flips to all snow for Wednesday, prompting a winter storm watch. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Currently, it's 39.
The Todd Albaugh Show.
Trevi Olson joins us.
There's a hockey game tomorrow night between Canada and the U.S. Everywhere up in Canada when they were playing the game, the U.S. was being booed. Imagine how you would feel if your neighbor were constantly saying, I'm taking your backyard. You would find that very serious. That's what's happening around the world. We are going to have no friends, period.
That is
and
so
that
well put.
Matters.
The Todd Albaugh Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local civic media radio station and on the app.
Nothing you could say could tear me away from my dog. My dog is shallow, y'all. Hi, I'm Smokey Robinson. When you adopt a shelter pet, you not only bring joy and love into your home, you also give another animal the chance to experience that special bond. Join me in supporting American Humane Society and their incredible work to help our most vulnerable friends. Together, we can make a real difference. Donate today at AmericanHumane.org.
Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody, join us next time. We'll take a look back at the Badger basketball game over the weekend and also find out whether we still have a country. If we do, join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2. You're listening to the Talk of Lacrosse, Eagle 1490 AM.
Good morning. Welcome to Matinair on Air. Jane Matinair, Greg Buck, Calvin Butenoff, coming to you live from our studio here at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us. You can call, you can text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. If you're interested in signing up for news updates in your local community, wherever you are, Oshkosh, Green Bay, Hayward, Amory.
Sorry. You know what, Jay, can I just apologize to you, to Dan, I think to Pat Kreitlow as well, and I think Todd Albaugh. My brain has been other places and it hasn't been Amory.
That's
Amory.
Fine.
Because I've been given the tee up, the hook shot, assist, whatever, sports, and I'm just sitting there going, Amory, yeah. Amory. Isn't that a lovely place,
we
Amory?
We kind of got out of the habit. It's fine.
So hey, where can you get it, Jane?
You can get it in Amory.
Amory.
Grab the Civic Media app for free.
Okay.
And then you can select communities across the state where you want to get news stories from our great local and statewide news team. We've got folks all over the state. And in a time when local newspapers and other local news outlets are dying, we really try hard to have folks on the ground. So yes. Sign up for get the Civic Media app. It's completely free. And then just select which communities you want to get your news updates from. Our news team does a really great job. Coming up in about 15 minutes, Rachel Campos Duffy, our new transportation secretary's wife, Sean Duffy, she has thoughts.
Queen Road Rules.
She has thoughts. So we're going to kick that around a little bit. After the 11:30 news, as we always do, we'll lighten it up. Should we have clocks in public anymore?
Nothing but the hardest hitting
reporting.
Well, that's
why I say we're going to lighten it up for the last half hour. And then we'll wrap it up with this shouldn't be a thing. Today it's the Hanky Spanky edition. If you ever have a thing you think should not be, send it in to Greg and me at janesays@civicmedia.us. JaneSays. janesays@civicmedia.us. I did want to cover this because I think that's one of those things that happened on a Friday and it tends to go under the radar and then it's forgotten about until they surface, probably within the Trump administration. The Tate brothers are back in the United States, Andrew and Tristan Tate. They had been in Romania for several years where they are facing numerous charges for sex trafficking and rape.
Organized crime.
Under pressure from the Trump administration, because apparently Barron Trump is a big fan. They are now back in the United States. They're in Florida.
I just want to, one side note to this, I don't know if you read this, but Ron DeSantis is very unhappy about this.
Okay.
I don't know. I just love that. I just, for some reason, I'm like, oh, so that's the thing.
Well, and he'll get over it.
But I just want to know, I keep on reading this under pressure from the Trump White House. What do we have on Romania where they're like, oh, no, not the United States of America. Let the two little kickboxer boys go. You know what I mean? Like, I want to know what the pressure was, because these are like the story will be in the show notes. These are serious charges. And let's not forget the charges they are being accused of, the crimes they are being accused of. Over here, people of the Republican Party, anytime you have to talk about, I mean, trafficking, are you kidding me?
Sex trafficking?
They couldn't shut up about trafficking for the past 2 years, even though everywhere they turned, all their leaders were being busted for some sort of either molestation, abuse, or trafficking. But these guys, they're okay.
They're fine.
They're fine, Jane.
Barron likes them.
They're not drag queens. What do we care?
Yeah, or trans. Yeah, Barron Trump is a big fan. So let's get to know the Tate brothers a little bit in case you're unfamiliar. And I suggest if you have a son who's between 18 and 24 or a grandson even younger.
I would say probably middle school.
They know who these guys are.
Absolutely.
Andrew Tate is a British-American former kickboxer. He has 8.5 million followers on Twitter alone. He uses his platform to give his views on rape, relationships, and power. Tate says he is absolutely a misogynist, and he teaches his followers that women are inferior, morally deficient human beings who are good only for sex and status building, and who deserve to be physically, sexually, and emotionally abused. Tate posts instructional videos online. You can subscribe to Hustlers University, Greg.
That's what I was looking for.
Hustlers University. Subscribers pay $50 a month, $8,000 annually for these valuable lessons from Andrew Tate. If a woman accuses a man of cheating, according to Andrew Tate, there's only one appropriate response. Bang out the machete, boomer in the face, grip her by the neck, what's up, B, biatch, and then you go screw her. That's how it goes. You go slap, slap, grab, choke, shut up, bitch, sex. Videos of Tate have been viewed 11.6 billion times.
He shows up on my timeline all the time, and I don't subscribe to anything. I hate the things I see when he comes across. And him and his brother. I mean, let his little brother Tristan, who is like that little. Where were we going, boss? Which way are we going, boss? Yeah.
He's a hanger on.
He's a hanger on, but he loves every minute of it.
Well, of course they do. Andrew and his brother Tristan are facing multiple charges in Romania, including sex trafficking, rape, forming an organized criminal group. They were arrested in 2022, are accused of exploiting women from Romania, the U.S., and Britain by seducing them with the promise of a relationship, then holding them against their will, filming them engaging in sex, and then selling the videos. Prosecutors allege Tate raped at least one of the women repeatedly, controlled them by threatening with violence and financial ruin, and then posting their porn videos to the women's social media accounts. All the best people.
All the best people. These two words I cannot say right now. So you go on TikTok, you've gone on Instagram, you've seen reels and these videos. You see these videos from Trumpy dudes, men, manly men.
Alpha males.
Apparently there can only be one, but there's alpha males. There's two of them or more. But This notion of if you mistreat my daughter or if you mistreat a woman or America does, this real bloviated, bang your chest type of man. But for some reason, they like these guys.
They love these guys.
Because it's not their daughter. It's not their wife. It's not their friend. But it's this total hypocrisy of the manly man alpha male who says, I will protect my family, but these guys are cool. Why are these guys cool? I guess I'm not making, because one, Jane, I'm a beta male, first of all. I've been told this many times on this show.
I know.
Many times. Beta, Omega, whatever the...
Zeta.
Ooh. Catherine Zeta-Jones. I don't know. But my point is I can never figure out the hypocrisy. People who text us on the show, dropped comments on the live stream talking about how amazing Trump is and how awesome this new alpha male.
Manly manliness.
Manly, manly. But yet they hurt women in such direct and... I don't understand how why these Trumpian men wouldn't want to hunt these two dudes down and say, you don't hurt women. This isn't the way we do it here in America.
Aren't they the antithesis of what a real man is?
Yes.
Aren't they the complete opposite of what, at least from what my father raised my brothers to be?
Yes.
Maybe I'll have to double check with my brother and find out, did dad tell you to know slap her and then beat her and then have sex with her? I for some reason, I don't think that was the message my dad was giving to my brothers.
And I want to apologize for all the stuttering, but these two men set me off so hard because I see their videos and it would be a movie if it wasn't them. These are movie villains, like real movie villains. Yet, I guess because Barron Trump likes them.
Barron's a fan. So is Charlie Kirk.
Well,
and I saw it was Alina Haba who was there again, a lawyer for Trump. Alina Haba, who was there when the Tates landed in Florida, and she told them what a big fan she is of their shows. She's a fan.
I think it's because, honestly, a lot of these individuals think it's an act. They see it all as an act because nowadays it's all about the grift. And social media is about being an influencer, quote unquote. And you do what you can to make money, get followers, get famous and popular. I'll bet you there's a great deal of people who think,
oh, it's just a joke.
It's a put on. It's a joke.
It's just a joke.
Yes.
Women find it so hilarious. I guess my biggest issue with this, I am so tired of hearing Republicans say that they are all about protecting and looking out for women. They're going to protect women from having the 0.00001% of trans athletes. They're going to stop that person from competing against their daughter. But they support the guy who supports these guys coming back to the United States. Mm-hmm. That doesn't make any sense to me. Calvin, you are closest in age probably to folks who follow Andrew and Tristan Tate. What do you hear about them? What do you hear in your sphere?
I don't know. Most of my friends don't really talk about this kind of thing. I hope and pray that they stay away from it. I mean, it's just gross, and I don't really have much of an explanation for it other than guys are lonely and want to blame someone else than themselves.
And that's a different topic, and we have talked about, we have touched on that, and we will continue to do so. But again, if you have sons or grandsons, ask them.
Yeah.
Ask them if they know who Andrew and Tristan Tate are. And ask them why they watch them and what they get out of watching them. I'd be very, very curious to hear their responses.
Yeah. I also, if these grandsons have sisters, you know, what would you think if that happened to your sister? What would you happen if your friend? I just don't understand. It boggles. You said it so much clearer than I did, Jane. I'm trying to find words. This as a man, this upsets me in ways that I can't make clear because these two men lead a poisonous legion of men who just need help.
I know we have advocates out there, guys. I know there's a whole bunch of good guys out there. We just have to keep at it. Cassandra says, by the way, you get all the letters, Greg. You're awesome.
Yay.
We have a break coming up when we return. Wise words from the wife of our new transportation secretary about handwriting. Stay close. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, La Crosse's home for the Todd Allball Show.
Judge Brad Schimmel is an anti-choice politician whose positions are too extreme for Wisconsin women. He supports a pre-Civil War law that bans abortion. But don't take our word for it. Hear it in his own words.
1849, ban on abortions. Which, by the way, what is flawed about that?
The 1849 abortion ban provides no exceptions for rape or incest.
What is flawed about that?
The 1849 law criminalizes doctors and their patients.
What is flawed about that?
Brad Schimmel supports an 1849 law to ban abortion with no exceptions. Tell Brad Schimmel, extreme politics don't belong on Wisconsin's Supreme Court. Call 262-548-7548. That's 262-548-7548. Paid for by A Better Wisconsin Together, Incorporated.
The Dom Salvia Show.
You know, Harvey, the seemingly purposeful no action. What's your sense on the leadership in the Dem Party right now, Harvey?
I'm ashamed of them. What did Trump have on all these people?
Yeah, right.
That we get this kind of silence. Will the Democratic leadership figure out that it's their task to start articulating a Democratic, small d, Democratic vision and project that these people can rally behind? Bam.
The Dom Salvia Show. Weekdays from 4 till 6 on the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Media app.
When a parent sees their child smile, they see hope. Aleem hoped that his son Rajib would have an easier life than he had. You see, Rajib, just like his father, was born with a cleft. But thanks to Smile Train, both father and son received free, life-changing surgeries, transforming their smiles into symbols of hope. To learn more and support the global cleft community, visit smiletrain.org/learn. Smile Train, changing the world one smile at a time.
Eagle 1490 AM.
I see the writing on the wall.
Oh, that's you. Okay.
Good morning. Welcome back to Matinee on Air. Jane Matinee, Greg Bach, and Calvi Tini on the board. Coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us, call or text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. After the 11:30 news, lightening it up. Do we need clocks in public?
I want to see all the comments, like, just break out, like, brother versus brother.
This came to me when I was on jury duty a couple of weeks ago in Milwaukee County. But we'll kick that around after the 11:30 news. Clocks in public, do we need them anymore? And then we'll wrap it up as we always do with this shouldn't be a thing. Today it's the Hanky Spanky edition, so stick around for that. I did want to take a little moment just to address this because I saw it yesterday and it made me snort. Headline reads from David Edwards on MSN.com. Fox News, Democrats conspiring to end cursive writing so kids can't read Constitution.
Oh, that's where I wish I had the Curb Your Enthusiasm theme right there. Dang.
During a Sunday segment on Fake News Weekend, Rachel Campos Duffy.
She has 9 kids.
She does. She's going to be having nice roads around her house soon.
Oh, thank goodness.
That's right, because Sean Duffy, your husband, now the head of transportation, thinks federal dollars should go to where people are getting married and having the most babies. But anyway, Rachel Campos Duffy on Sunday noted that one Idaho bill will force schools to teach cursive in elementary classes. Campos Duffy said, "So you guys, I didn't realize this is a generational thing. Where have you been? I talked to our producers who are a lot younger than us, and some said they don't write in cursive. They don't even know how."
Mm-hmm.
Rachel Campos Duffy says that the reason we're not teaching cursive in class anymore is because Democrats don't want kids to be able to read the original Constitution. Thankfully, Rachel, I have a little pocket Constitution that I carry with me. And you know what, Greg?
What?
It's not in cursive.
They didn't. It's not handwritten?
It's not. It is printed.
What?
Co-host Peter Ducey said that former President Joe Biden had bad handwriting. Quote, "But you know, one of my favorite conspiracy theories, and I kind of believe it, is the reason Democrats don't want to people to learn how to write cursive is so they can't read the actual Constitution. Like when they go on a tour of Independence Hall, this could be National Treasure 3, Ducey said. I'm here. I want to steal the document, but I don't know which one is right because I can't read cursive.
I'm really thinking, Jane, that we could be on that show. We have so much fun. It does not take any talent to be like, you do not have to talk about anything about on that show.
Just come up with a squirrel.
Yeah. Oh God.
They are great with coming up with squirrels.
So she said it's a generational thing.
And it is a generational thing.
Correct.
And it has been a generational thing for a long time.
Well, and generations that, I mean, and the, what I'm thinking about, she has 9 children. She literally has 2 generations of children because her oldest is 25 years old. She would have known at some point that kids were not learning cursive.
Unless she's just not very involved with her children.
Not involved, or she sends them to that special super duper cursive private school.
Special cursive tutor.
Especially, the special cursive tutor. I remember when Wisconsin, at least about a decade ago, phased out cursive. And I was upset because I love good handwriting. I have great handwriting.
I love
good penmanship. I love good quill.
It's a skill.
And so I got all up my high horse about it. And my friend who is a public school teacher said, you don't understand what not having to do this will do for teachers.
If they don't have to spend time on teaching cursive.
Exactly. Something that is not useful in the outside world that will not be used in jobs unless you're, you know, a handwriting technology person. You don't have to worry about this. Therefore, we don't need to teach this. And when she explained, I'm like, yep, makes sense.
Calvin?
When I learned cursive in school, it was, I guess I was explained, the purpose of it is because it's faster than writing normally. And so I guess my point, like, I think it's pointless to teach kids. If they want to learn how to do cursive, it's not even something to learn. Just write normally, but don't pick your pencil up. That's basically what cursive is.
If you want to learn cursive, you can do it at home. There's lots of, it's called YouTube.
You
teach your kid cursive if you want, but the teachers shouldn't have to teach them these things. And this notion of a grown adult, especially Nicolas Cage or someone our age, we could read cursive. But I've seen the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution. It's horrible looking.
It really is.
It is like almost blank.
It's very difficult to read.
Yeah.
Even if you can read cursive. Cassandra on the text line, my mother was raised writing in cursive. Her name is Dale, but her nickname at a previous job was Dave because no one could read her name.
Well, this is the thing. You want to take it one step further? Look at how they spelled words back then. They used F's instead of S. Like the way they formed letters, totally different.
Yeah.
So I know this is all a joke, and I know they're too stupid to live sometimes on some of the things they talk about. But this is the problem you were saying. This is a squirrel.
It's a squirrel, and they spent an entire segment on this on a Sunday morning, and now people walk away from watching them going, Democrats hate
exactly
because they hate the Constitution. Okay. Mark from Prairie du Sac, we're up against the clock, Mark, but thank you for joining us. Go ahead. What do you want to say about this?
Well, she probably couldn't explain why they have capitalization in the middle of sentences in the print versions of the Constitution and the Federalist Papers, because that's how they used emphasis. They didn't have bold, you know, print when they printed things. It was just one color of print. I mean, it's just, and you just put it out, you know, S's look like F's in the script. I mean, it is just ridiculous. I think people should learn to, I didn't know how to write in cursive, and I actually had really good handwriting before neuropathy settled in my hands as a result of my chemotherapy, but it's just ridiculous. I mean, she needs to pull her head out of
out of a road resolve toilet. I don't know.
That could be. Thank you, Mark. Really appreciate it. All right. News is coming up next when we come back. Clocks in public, yay or nay. It's all on the way. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air on the Civic Media Radio Network.
My heart knows better than them all. This time I feel it's goodbye. Excuse me if I cry, but I see the writing on the wall. It's not too hard to read.
Your
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, La Crosse's home for Up North News Radio.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
Hi, I'm Jimmy Kuska for 1490 WLCX. Gas prices in Wisconsin fell again this week, but an expected seasonal rise in prices is coming. With more, here's Civic Media's Melissa Kay.
Average gas prices fell 5.1 cents in the last week for an average of 2.80 today. This is 7 cents lower than a month ago and over 45 cents lower than this time last year. Officials at Gas Buddy say forecasting fuel prices remains challenging as geopolitical tensions intensify. The promised tariffs from the Trump administration could impact what some motorists pay at the pump in the weeks ahead. Nearly every year sees a seasonal spring increase, pushing prices higher ahead of summer.
In La Crosse, gas has come down 17 cents per gallon in 2 weeks, settling in at about $2.90, which is about 9 cents higher than the statewide average. Some western Wisconsin residents are upset after Congressman Derek Van Orden's staff failed to show up at a scheduled event in Eau Claire and abruptly changed locations for a La Crosse event late last week. Van Orden blamed what he called agitator groups for the disruptions to his office's schedule. In La Crosse, Van Orden was set to meet with the North La Crosse Business Association at the Pearl Street Brewery, but then moved the event to Castaways, and in the process rescinded registration from some people who planned to attend the event. The Board of Public Works will meet today to go over its five-year work plan. The committee will also consider an order to terminate the five-year lease for the City Brewery Company for two parking lots near its facility in an ongoing dispute over the city and brewery over odor emissions. The City Plan Commission is also meeting today, reviewing its zoning code project and combing through 211 pages of code to help begin reworking zoning ordinances. The commission will also take up several resolutions for properties in the city. We're in a winter storm watch for tomorrow night into Wednesday with the potential for multiple inches of snow and gusty winds. Today we'll have scattered showers and highs will be well into the 50s in western Wisconsin. Tomorrow, rain will give way to snow overnight with temperatures falling from the 50s down to the 30s for Wednesday, where we could see 2 to 5 inches of snow. Higher amounts are expected north and west of La Crosse this week. We'll have more details in our Civic Media forecast. For 1490 WLCX, I'm Jimmy Kuska.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabe. As it turns out, not everyone in Hollywood wants to be a part of a superhero movie and is willing to pass on big fat residual checks. Jeremy Allen White, star of the Emmy-winning show The Bear, has passed on the title role in DC Universe's Sergeant Rock. In a recent interview, White said he is confused at the idea that the pinnacle of an actor's career seems to be a role in a superhero film. Then again, maybe he just doesn't like to wear tights. And then there's Chris Pratt, who seems to have no problem playing superheroes as long as the check cashes. I feel you, brother. Pratt has announced that he will play Star-Lord when the character returns to the Marvel comic universe by way of Guardians of the Galaxy. Pratt is currently one of the busiest actors in Hollywood, as he is starring in The Electric State with Millie Bobby Brown on Netflix, and you can catch him in the sci-fi film Mercy, which will be released this summer. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
It's the calm before the storm. With mostly cloudy skies and a few spotty sprinkles this afternoon, high temperatures still smack the mid-50s. We stay above freezing overnight with scattered showers tomorrow morning. Rain really ramps up tomorrow evening. It flips to all snow for Wednesday, prompting a winter storm watch. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlau. Currently, it's 39.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabe.
I'm very excited. It is my pleasure to welcome tonight my old pal, Dr. Kristen Lierley. I told the entire listening audience that I rub my feet together sometime when I watch TV, and I called it self-cuddling. And it's like the only thing we do where we rub our own bodies when we relax, you know.
Is it? Are you telling that to a gynecologist? Pete, come on.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabe. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Earl Ingram.
The one and only Professor Bob Harvey has graced the airlines with us. Let's go to Vincent.
With this new administration, African-American history is under assault. To Professor Harvey, how important is it for us to fight back, not only for Black History Month, but throughout the year?
African-American history is not going anywhere. Start digging into history. You find out that long before the Mayflower, Blacks were already here.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 to 10 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Pat Kreitlow.
On Tuesday, the human impact of letting the world's richest man cut health care for veterans in Wisconsin. Our guest is Lou Ann Bird.
Up North News with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday mornings starting at 6.
Good morning. Welcome back to Matt and Air on Air. Jane Matt and Air, Greg Bach. Resident young person Calvin on the board coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine, where you can always join us. The number is the same whether you call or you text. It's 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Baseball in action today. The crew at the Reds. Broadcast begins at 6:55. You can listen to the game on WRCE in Richland Center, on WISS in Oshkosh, and also WBZH in Hayward. Brewers and the Reds tonight, 6:55. Broadcast start. You can check it out on those civic media radio stations. Coming up to wrap up the show, as it always is, This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Today, the Hanky Spanky edition. Stick around for that. Right now, though, we've been kicking this around for a couple of weeks before we've gotten on the air. And I'm genuinely curious.
Okay.
And so this came up a couple of weeks ago. I served on jury duty in Milwaukee County.
Yes.
Ultimately, I was not selected.
Oh.
But what I noticed, because they were at least 120 of us in there.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a big auditorium, and then there's like two other rooms where you can go wander around, but otherwise you're kind of stuck in this area.
Yeah.
As they're selecting the jury.
We watched Must Love Dogs when I did it that time.
Oh, did you?
Oh yeah, it was great.
I love it. So there was I was the last group.
Yeah.
So you get there at 8 o'clock in the morning, and we were there until 4 o'clock in the afternoon until they released us. But you do a lot of wandering around and pacing around.
Yeah.
And there were three different clocks in these spaces at the Milwaukee County Courthouse. Two of them did not work. There was one working clock.
Yeah.
And first of all, I thought, well, Milwaukee County's got money problems. They don't want to replace batteries. I get it. I get it. But then maybe take them down. Because if it's there, maybe it's just me. If the clock is there, I will look at the clock. But it started me thinking about, do we need clocks in public anymore? Because everybody's got a clock on their phone.
Or a smartwatch.
Or a smartwatch. So I'm curious. 855-752-4842. Do we still need clocks in public? I love clocks.
Okay.
I really do. I think clocks are beautiful. I think the whole story of clocks is fascinating. I've been to clock museums, so maybe I'm a little of an outlier.
Folks, we're going deeper than I expected, honestly. I thought we were just going to talk about clocks and their utilitarian.
No, there's a great clock museum in Vienna. It's fantastic.
Birds and clocks.
Birds and clocks. This is my thing. But how do you feel about clocks? Do we need clocks in public anymore because of smartphones and smartwatches? 855-752-4842. Leave a comment on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Clocks, how do you feel about them? Yay, nay, don't need them anymore. Let's move on. Let's go back to sundials. I don't know.
Well, when you were walking around, at least you had time in your lunch break to go down to the cafeteria and enjoy a
No, the cafeteria was closed.
I know. I just wanted to just say that out loud. I love that. You're like, they broke us for lunch, but the cafeteria is closed.
And they gave us, and it was the week that it was super cold.
Yeah.
And they gave us a list of restaurants that were all within 10 blocks.
Yeah.
I didn't go for lunch.
Do you think there'd be a food truck? There's some food trucks out there.
Nothing.
Nothing.
Clocks, do we need them in public anymore?
Oh, boy, there's opinions.
855-752-4842. Ollie from the Northwoods is on the line. Good morning, Ollie. Thank you for joining us. What do you think about clocks?
First, I have a question to ask you.
Yeah.
I was wondering if you were able to talk to the judge about his gavel.
That sounds like a personal question.
About it making that certain sound.
Oh, with a dun-dun?
We're going to speak to him.
You know what, Ollie? I never got in front of the judge. They dismissed that whole last group before we even got in front of the lawyers to get questioned to be selected. So I never got the opportunity, unfortunately.
Well, darn it. That's a shame.
I know.
Anyway, I think we should definitely keep clocks. A lot of people don't wear wristwatches, and like you, I always look for a clock. And a lot of people don't have watches or necessarily have phones that they can look at. So I think clocks are definitely important, as are batteries.
Yeah.
True.
Yes, batteries and electricity are kind of important with clocks, unless you have one of those wind-up ones.
Is it that? I don't know. Do we have an example of the sound from Law and Order sound at all? Oh, he's Calvin. I thought Calvin was. I saw Calvin like brewing, bubbling there, and
thought he would grab it real quick.
Yeah.
Next time I get in front of a judge, Ollie, hopefully it won't be for me. I'll ask him about getting the dun dun.
I just imagine you calling them, being like, I asked the question. How'd it go? I'm in jail right now.
Because I got sassy with the judge. Kathleen from River Hills is on the line. Good morning, Kathleen. Thanks for joining us. How do you feel about clocks?
I love clocks.
I do, too.
And granted, I'm of an older generation, but I wear both the watch and I have a smartphone. Oh, excuse me. I climbed the stairs just now.
I get it,
and,
Kathleen.
And what I can tell you is I also tutor in MPS, and it's not MPS alone. I find this even in my grandson's school. They don't know how to read clock. They look at me blankly, and yet they want to know what time it is. These grade schoolers, many kids' families can't afford to give them watches or smartphones.
Sure, that's a good point.
And if we had functioning clocks, and we taught them how to read a clock face, which I do every time I encounter this, of course, they would have more tools at their disposal. And quite frankly, we need to give those with less privileges than us every tool we can. And buying batteries for clocks doesn't strike me as excessive.
You know what, Kathleen? If I had only had a couple of batteries on me, I would have climbed up there and changed the batteries myself. I probably would have ended up in front of the judge.
I was going to say something going,
hey, not a good idea.
What are you doing? That's my job.
Thank you, Kathleen. Really appreciate it. Thank you for being a teacher. You're a saint. Clocks, yes or no? Do we need clocks in public? 855-752-4842. I love clocks.
Yeah.
Do you have clocks? I am like, pro clock.
Good.
I am. I have more clocks than we need.
Then I have a question for the listeners. I want to hear from the anti-clock people.
Okay.
Who clocks are just an impediment on their life.
We don't need them.
It's a waste of taxpayer dollars.
Waste of batteries. We have a whole bunch of texts coming in. Megan from Sun Prairie listening in Madison on WMDX. Clocks should stay. Especially in train stations and airports, people don't always have a free hand to check their smart devices while traveling if they are in a rush. Mark from Prairie du Sac, the Piggly Wiggly in Sauk City, has an analog clock over the main door, and I like it. Brian from Green Bay is on the phone, 855-752-4842. Thanks for joining us, Brian, and checking in on this very important topic. Clocks in public, yay or nay?
Thanks for having me on. You can ignore my text that I also sent in. Lambeau Field, the clock is actually 10 minutes fast, the giant one at Lambeau Field, for a reason. So it's set on Lombardi time that if you're not 10 minutes early, you're late. So
the
biggest clock in Green Bay is purposely off.
Seriously.
I love that.
So next time you go up there, look at it. We always tell people that, and they never know why, and now you'll seem smarter, but I don't have time for this clock conversation.
Ain't nobody got time for clocks.
I have things to do. I have things to do. Leave me alone.
I love that. I adhere to the whole if you're on time, you're late. I love that. I hold myself to that, too. I'm not.
Are you usually early?
I'm usually early or on time, which then I consider myself to be late. But I'm a huge aversion to tardiness.
Cam from Appleton. Yes, but make them cursive clocks. Sassy thing.
Wouldn't cursive clocks just be ones with the faces instead of like digital then?
John from Hubertus, the world would be a happier place if everyone had a cuckoo clock.
Yeah.
Ben from Richland Center listening on WRCE, traveling through large airports, which seems to take forever. You're absolutely right about that. If you have to change terminals and stuff, I do want to glance up and see the time instead of always having to look at my stupid phone.
Jeff listening on the live stream said I was recently in Grand Central Terminal, and it said it was a thing there, said meet me at the clock. I mean, that is a world-renowned clock. That one is even on the set of SNL too, in the middle of the main terminal. We need them. And PJ on the live stream says the Alan Bradley clock has entered the chat.
There you go. Is the Alan Bradley clock accurate? It's got four faces. Because there was a long period of time where the Alan Bradley clock was not accurate.
I bet. Well, let's. I'm gonna check.
Not to get in trouble here, but I'm just saying.
Is the Alan Bradley
855-752-4842? Yes, we're breaking down the big issues of the day.
Yeah.
Do we need clocks in public? Bring this up because I was on jury duty a couple of weeks ago, and over the almost 8 hours we were there, sequestered, there were three clocks hanging up, and two of them didn't work. And I just started thinking about whether or not we actually need clocks in public anymore because everybody's got a smartphone or a smartwatch or a watch. There are still people who wear watches. Personally, I love clocks. Listener on WFHR, I love clocks and I look for them. I have clocks in my house that my children made and that were given as retirement gifts. Have you ever been to Spillville, Iowa to see Billy Clock?
Okay, road trip.
Beautifully carved wooden clocks about the history of our country. That sounds fascinating. Michael from Wauwatosa listening in Madison on WMDX. Yes, to clocks in public. Phones and smartwatches run out of power, and you need to know what time it is. Also, Brian from Milwaukee on Margaritaville at Sea, the cruise ship clocks are all set to 5 o'clock.
Oh, we used to, at Lakefront Brewery, we used to sell a clock that was all fives.
It's always 5 p.m. somewhere.
Yep, it's always 5 p.m.
855-752-4842. Clocks in public, yes or no? Are we pro or con?
Can someone just take the anti-clock side? I want to hear what your arguments against clocks are.
Cam is anti-clock.
They
cause me to pass out because when I want time to go faster, I hold my breath. And the second hand moves incrementally quicker, but it risks me passing out.
Albert Einstein would have something to say about that theory.
Clocks are not your enemy, Kim.
No.
They're not your enemy.
No.
Clocks in public, yay or nay. Beverly from Richland Center is on the phone. Good morning, Beverly. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you. I had my Medicare checkup this morning, and one of the things that they always ask us old folks, they give us a clock face and say, okay, put in the hands for 10 minutes after 11. And since I never see analog clocks anymore, it gets harder and harder every year to do that.
I never even thought about that, Beverly. So they make you actually move the hands on a clock to what to prove that you're still cognizant?
No, they give you a paper, they put a circle on it and say, okay, put the numbers in and then put the hands on for the time of 11:10.
And that does that for what reason?
They're trying to make sure you still got your cognitive ability.
Oh, okay.
So there, yeah, it's just a little check on how you're doing.
Okay.
That's really interesting. Thank you, Beverly. Really appreciate that. Well, and I thought one of our earlier callers had a good point, too, about not every kid has a smartwatch. Not every kid has a smartphone.
Well, I mean.
And I never even thought about teaching them how to tell time.
I learned about that a few years ago when my coworker's son came in and he asked me what time it was and I showed him my watch and he goes, I can't read that. And he was 14.
Wow.
And I think that's something that kind of falls now on the parents to do. If you want to teach them how to read a traditional clock and then do cursive. But Tom on the text line, this is great. All the George Webb restaurants had two clocks.
Yep.
One was always ahead of the other. It was explained to me that back in the day, you weren't allowed to be open 24 hours a day. Therefore, since one o'clock was behind the other, they would
1 minute behind the other.
1 minute behind the other. They weren't open 24 hours a day.
West for Middleton, too. Any institution or profession in which time is a vital piece of information, hospitals, transportation, use clocks. Clocks are vital. And they need to stay in public places. Thank you, Wes. Thanks.
Clocks win!
Thanks for checking in on this, everybody. When we return, this shouldn't be a thing. Hanky Spanky Edition. Stay with us. You are listening to Matt and Air on Air on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is the talk of La Crosse, Eagle 1490 AM. You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. In our last report, we explained how Executive Order 14215 claims presidential authority over the FEC and other independent agencies, putting fair elections at risk. Manipulation of the FCC, which sets broadcasting rules for political advertising, could also impact elections. Until 1987, the Federal Communications Commission followed the Fairness Doctrine, ensuring equal access to the airwaves and balanced coverage of candidates. The Communications Act of 1996 protects reasonable access by qualified federal candidates and equal time opportunities for federal, state, and local candidates. While it no longer reviews ads for accuracy, it still prohibits censorship of candidate-sponsored ads, requires the paid-for-by disclosure, and mandates records be available to the public. What if those rules were ignored? Extremist control of the FCC could revoke licenses of broadcasters who disagree with the administration, as threatened by Trump against NBC, ABC, and CBS in recent months. It could allow broadcasters to pick and choose their advertisers, potentially silencing competition. Unequal enforcement could tilt the playing field. In short, a partisan takeover of the FCC could impact election fairness not only for the 2026 midterms, but for years to come. We have more on the FCC's role in elections at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
Do you know or work with kids who have special health care needs? Help them live their best lives. Contact Wisconsin Wayfinder Children's Resource Network. Our specialists will connect you with services in your area. Wisconsin Wayfinder is free and confidential. Call 877-947-2929 or visit dhs.wi.gov/WISCWAY. Connect today. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Department of Health Services.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, Lacrosse's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Calviente on the board. Coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us. The number is the same, 855, whether you want to call or text, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Coming up on the show tomorrow, Pat Kreitlow is back from Up North News Radio. Pat's going to be here to help us kick around the news from 10:30 to 11. In hour number two tomorrow, we're going to learn about road salt.
We had just to cover all the exciting stuff.
Well, this is important.
I know.
When we talk about the amount of salt that gets on the roads and then leaches into our water systems. So Allison Madison is going to be joining us talking road salt.
Heck yeah. And honestly, it is very interesting, especially when you talk about like brining salts too.
Right.
Yeah.
So that's all on the way tomorrow, and then Wednesday, now a monthly segment. Looking forward to this. A lot going on. Darren Von Ruden will be here. Mm-hmm. He is the president of the Wisconsin Farmers Union, and I'm sure he's been hearing plenty of things from fellow farmers as Donald Trump continues to threaten tariffs.
Yeah.
So we will talk to Darren Von Ruden. That is coming up on Wednesday. Right now, though, at 11:53, that means it's time for
This Shouldn't Be a Thing.
And as always, if you have a thing you think should not be, send it in to Greg at me at janesays@civicmedia.us. This from the Associated Press. The headline reads, Florida Man Games returned for round two as teams vie to be the world's worst superhero. Well done to Daniel Kozin, who has the byline on this. The Florida Man Games are back for round two. Teams from around the state trying to prove they have what it takes to join the ranks of the world's worst superhero. After the success of last year's inaugural Florida Man Games, it was moved to the St. John's County Fairgrounds so they could have more spectators and tailgating. Teams from around the state, from Fort Myers to Pensacola, competed. Last year's winner, Team Hanky Spanky, we're returning to defend their snakeskin championship belt. Also competing this year, the all-female team called the Ballbusters.
Of course.
Croy Bruns, a 29-year-old who works for Dave & Buster's, took part in the weaponized pool noodle competition.
What?
Mr. Bruns has lived in Florida his whole life with the tattoos to show for it. He says he believes that a true Florida man never prepares for the games.
That's I get that. That's a very Florida thing to say.
According to Mr. Bruns, they're just born ready to be great. They're born ready for the trophy, and they're ready for the title, and each year someone new has to be born for it. He says the Florida Man Games are something you won't find anywhere else. You got that right, and we're glad for that.
I was going to say, and thankfully.
Mm-hmm. We've got the Olympics. They've been around forever, but yep, they don't have gator tossing. Can't argue with that.
I'm going to say this. Nature always wins.
They don't have a contest where you've got to hold your beer and fight someone at the same time.
You've never been to my family reunions.
Beyond just watching the sporting events, guests can also get into some Florida Man shenanigans themselves, including riding a mechanical alligator and the ever-popular lawnmower racing, hosted by NASCAR driver Jeffrey Earnhardt.
Shut up.
Oh, yeah.
Well, do you think anyone, like, gets endorsement deals on anything from this, like... Oh, five-hour energy drink.
There's
or
so much potential there.
Four Loko.
There is so much potential there. This is on brand for the way I thought it would be, said the ring announcer, Che Durina. It's the right level of grimy, extravagance, and debaucherousness. It's exactly what I want. It's a lot of people day drinking, a lot of people getting sunburnt, a lot of people just partying and acting foolish in the best way. So next year, there's time. You can prepare for it for next year.
Yeah, you know, we should think of what our Wisconsin
version of the Florida Man games.
Not like a lumberjack thing, but like take their Florida games and what's Wisconsin's idea of that one?
We could do that. We can do that.
Yeah.
News is coming up next. When we get back, it will be Todd Alba from noon to 2, Maggie Dawn 2 to 4, Dom Salvia 4 to 6, Pete Schwabba 6 to 8, Pat Kreitlow back early morning 6 to 8 on Up North News Radio, and Earl Ingram right before us. From 8 to 10 a.m. Thank you, Greg and Calvin, and all of our engineers. Without you, nothing works. And thank you most of all for calling and for texting and for listening. It absolutely means the world, and it makes it so much more fun. I hope you find some joy today and you have the chance to share it. Keep it right here on the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll see you tomorrow.
You're listening to the Talk of La Crosse, Eagle 1490 AM. Earl Ingram.
Coming up on the Earl Ingram Show, Dr. Anthony Eastry to address the attacks on social services. Later, I have a very special guest who will join us to
the Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 till 10.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Brian Lomax, defend the vote.
The SAVE Act will make it harder for all Americans to vote. Now you need a passport. Wisconsin specific, 5 million people don't have a passport. Now it's $130 per passport.
Even if you can afford to get a passport, that is a months-long process. Unless you planned a year ahead, you're not going to be able to vote.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us. Soaring high above La Crosse. This is Eagle 1490 AM WLCX La Crosse. And streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. Fire crews up against 175 wildfires burning across South and North Carolina. One fire near Myrtle Beach that doubled in size this weekend is now 30% contained, allowing some evacuated residents to return home.
Dry and windy conditions are fueling the fast-moving wildfires as much of the Southeast is in moderate drought. Officials in the fire zone warn the dry conditions will remain today before much-needed rain tomorrow and Wednesday.
ABC's Andrew Dimbert. Following last week's fallout during talks with Ukraine's leader, President Trump, today meets with key security advisors. President Zelensky met with European leaders over the weekend, now working to draft their own peace plan to help end that war. German authorities investigating a car attack in the city of Mannheim. Two people killed, several others injured. Police detained a 40-year-old German. Pope Francis is in his third week of a hospital stay at Rome's Gemelli Hospital, battling pneumonia. The Vatican says he's doing okay. This is ABC News.